CliffCentral.com.
All right. Hang on. There we go. Turn on the got to turn on these cameras. Good morning if you've just joined us. If you are up early this morning to get a whole lot of things done, you've come to the right place. CliffCentral.com. We've got Mash and Leanne. And we got lots to talk about today. Oh, is that your microphone?
It's my 7 a.m.
Is that your normal wake-up time?
No, it's not. It's actually an alarm for me to actually schedule my emails in the mornings.
Ooh, okay. You're very organized. You schedule emails. I like that.
Yeah, so that at 8, they just send out automatically.
That's quite a cool thing to do. Why don't you just... you see, what I do sometimes is, especially if I have a whole lot of stuff to do over a weekend, and you don't want to be sending people emails at, like, midnight on a Sunday, right? So what I'll do is I'll just put them into my my outbox, and then I just won't go online with mail until the next morning. And then it looks like I've sent out 400 emails the next morning. Well, not 400. Let me be
reasonable.
like 10 or 15. Yeah, and everybody's like, Jesus, that's first thing on a Monday morning, this guy's already emailing us. Meanwhile, I've done it on the Sunday.
He is sharp.
Yeah.
Wish I could be more like him.
Yeah. So, Leanne, first of all, I know it's not why you did it, but there's some nice comments here. Claire says, thanks for being so vulnerable, Leanne. You're so loved. When you were talking to Dr. Hanan, you know, thank you, Leanne, says Tracy. By opening up, I've gotten something out of this too from Dr. Hanan, which is great. Parallel Parking says, brave to open up publicly, Leanne. You're loved by people you don't even know. Dr. Hanan, your magnificent framework is everything. And DK says, imagine how people who are truly incompetent must feel, those that sit with no possibility of becoming good at anything. There are people like that, right?
Yeah. That comment means a lot, because it means that that person doesn't feel like I am truly incompetent.
No, they're obviously saying you're not incompetent. Dear Linda says, I feel that so much easier said than done. When depressed, you really make a big effort just to be awake. We have to do what we need to do, but gosh, it's hard. Yeah. Leanne is my absolute favorite, says Karen. I look forward to her being on the show, and I never miss an episode with her. The chat this morning has been super helpful. Virtual hug. All right, so nice comments all around.
Virtual hug.
So what are
you? What's a love?
What are you going to do, ass? I mean, you've got to take this one step at a time. But you know, I like teasing you about being Miss Havisham, or about like letting go and not giving a shit anymore and becoming this old spinster. But I mean, the reality is like you're making by just bringing it up to Dr. Hanan. There's obviously a desire in your part to change things. You don't want this to be your life. You know, that you're feeling anxious and depressed. And you said this new medication's working and you've got like your eye on a goal. So this is I suppose it's now a series of steps. So what are you planning to do about this? Take it forward with Dr. Hanan, seek this cognitive behavioral therapy stuff more, start setting yourself some goals.
So when I sent Dr. Hanan the email, he sent me a WhatsApp saying, can we talk? Mm-hmm. And speaking of frameworks, if you take into consideration my frame of mind, I thought he was phoning to criticize me. I said, we can talk now. He phoned and I said, are you phoning to criticize me? We did lol a lot.
Well, I mean, it took everything in me to not like make fun of you while you were talking to him about this. I read it the whole thing.
It's so weird. I don't, like, if someone in the comments or throughout our history of being in the public eye, if someone criticizes me, then I actually don't really care. But in any case, the reason why he phoned was to say, I can help you with this and I want to help you with this.
Okay.
And he reiterated that this morning. So that is a big light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm very excited to take the next step. So that's what I'll be doing.
Good. As Carl says, Leanne, pull yourself toward yourself. That is what you've got.
It's the best thing to say to a person who's depressed. Yeah, just pull up your socks, man.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Hang in there.
Just hang in there. You'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay. Well, that's what we call it on a Monday. Everything's going to be okay. But you need to hear that sometimes. Because, you know, I think people are also going through plenty of stuff, and sometimes they don't want to open up about it, and sometimes they do. But the reality is that, you know, life is not, and I think this is part of the problem. It's just, again, I'm an amateur. I'm not a professional at this. I occasionally might stumble upon an insight by mistake. But the way I see things is we have this generalized idea that being happy should be the default. And anyone who's unhappy, there's something wrong with them. You know, if your life isn't perfect, if your life isn't perfect, you aren't thrilled with every aspect of it, then you've got a problem. Meanwhile, life for almost every single human who's ever walked the planet has been anything but happy all the time. Happy all the time is not the default setting. Never has been. That's not how people are. That's not what we do. We spend most of our time struggling, fighting, trying to survive, trying to make things work, trying to make sense of stuff. It's not all straightforward. And anybody who says it is full of shit. That's not how life works.
Yeah.
So I often look at these situations that people find themselves in, and I think, well, yeah, sure. You know, it's tough, and your life is hard, and you've got all these things to deal with. But that is the normal setting. And if you're struggling against that stuff, then you're living. That's what life is. There's never going to be a point where you're happy and everything's in balance and everything's perfect, and every day you wake up going, oh, yay, I'm 110% of the person I need to be. That's not normal. Those are probably the people who need the help. And I'm one of those people. I mean, I'm just very lucky that my brain tends to make me feel happy almost all the time. But that's not normal.
Yeah.
That's the abnormal one. I think most people who are normal are like you.
Yes.
It's very much, it's kind of goes against what powerful people say. You know, you must set goals and you must try and get to a point where you and work towards. Sometimes it's about lowering your expectations a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And understanding that the robots aren't all going to be green. It's impossible. There's no perfect world.
No.
Yes.
I'm just, you know, little things every day make me happy, and I think I'm just very fortunate that I have this different way of operating. But that is not the norm, and I totally understand that. And I get that it's not the norm. And I don't expect other people to, like, oh, just get over it. That is one thing I've worked really. I used to be the kind of guy who was like, oh, all these people with their problems, like, get over yourself. Now I think I'm a little more sympathetic. But I still have some work to do there too.
I mean, Leanne, I also suffer from pretty crippling anxiety. As somebody who's always actually been out there, especially on social media, I've always actually allowed people to have an opinion on my life, to have an opinion on everything I'm up to, the way I'm dressed, the way I look. I always allowed people that access to me. And because of that, I used to suffer terribly. And I used to care in the beginning. But obviously, over time, I learned to actually stop caring as much. I still do care, but I learned to stop caring as much. And that is where I actually started taking control of it. But I mean, one thing that's really helped me is there's some medication that I started taking, really calm. Actually, it really helps just mellow me down a bit and not actually look so deeply into whatever people are saying about me. So that really helps me.
I wonder how many people in South Africa are on medication for anxiety and depression. I wonder how many, like, if you took every 10 people, and obviously we have a big problem in this country because a lot of people can't afford medication, right? They're barely able to afford food. So you're not going to choose medicine when you can't even get food. You're going to have to choose food.
Yeah.
And we know like social workers, there are none. And we know that there are, you know, there are huge family issues in this country. There are huge financial pressures. We have the breakdown of the nuclear family in many situations. So all of that stuff is not making it easier for people. And then you think, well, okay, if we count those who are so, you know, far from, like, help in terms of not having anyone to talk to, not being able to access any kind of mental health assistance, any kind of medication or whatever. If we count those people out and we only count the people who can actually afford it and get it, I wonder how many people in South Africa we have. Because it, I think in America they say now it's one in every three. So if it's one in every three in America, I wonder what, do we even come close to those numbers?
I think it would be pretty similar because I think it's a global human condition. I think a lot of it is genetic. And a lot of it has just never been treated in the past. And people have been walking around this. I mean, as a Gen X person, a lot of us have only been diagnosed with certain things much later on in life. But we've been walking around with them all the time. It's like rape statistics. It's difficult to measure because some people don't report it, or they don't even realize with mental health issues that they've got one. I think it would be the same pretty much around the world.
Well, talking about people,
don't even know.
Talking about people who have problems. Apparently, Meghan Markle has made South Africans cross. She spoke about an incident that took place during her last royal tour, and it was. It was the last one she ever did. It was here to South Africa. And I remember I went to some event at the British High Commissioner's house in Johannesburg. And she and Harry were there and they made a quick speech each and that was it. They were kind of in and out.
So you've seen her IRL.
What does that mean? In real life?
In real life.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it wasn't, it was a bit of a waste of time, if you ask me. And I, looking back, I didn't realize that they were already falling apart in terms of their relationship with the royal family. Mm-hmm. They must have hated being here and all that stuff. But she says in her podcast series, which is called Archetypes, she told her friend and tennis star Serena Williams, so two of them talking, that there'd been an incident that apparently a heater, which was placed in Archie's room when he was busy sleeping while his parents were undertaking engagements here in South Africa. That was a couple of years ago. She said the moment we landed, we had to drop him off, and they had us staying in something like a housing unit, she said. There had been a fire at the residence, and she went on to say her son had not been harmed. He was not in the room, thanks to his nanny, who had taken him downstairs with her for a snack. But apparently there was a fire in this housing unit, as she called it. So a lot of people are upset because she was talking about a housing unit, which a lot of South Africans say, that's outrageous. Footsack Meghan, it's an offensive thing to call someone's house a housing unit. And they're upset with it. People will find a reason to get upset about anything. Now, I don't love Meghan. I don't love Meghan Markle at all. I think she's absolutely abominable. I don't like Harry either. I'm not impressed by these people at all. But this is a reason to get upset with Meghan Markle because she's talking about a housing unit? You really don't have a lot going on in your life if you're prepared to be upset with someone about that.
It was such a weird clip. I did see it.
Yeah, you did?
When she said housing unit, I also kind of I thought, what does she mean? Is it like apartments? I didn't really understand. And then I was very interested to hear when she mentioned the nanny.
Yeah.
She spoke about the fact that she would put Archie on her back. And then I was like, okay, I see a black nanny, not like a British royal nanny.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very confusing clip. I didn't actually get what point she was trying to make.
Very confusing. Because things, like the, putting the baby on the back, I thought everybody does that all over the world.
No. No, it's an African thing. I can guarantee you that.
I grew up being carried around. Jesus, what was that? A cough, or is that the
COVID?
Tuberculosis. COVID-19. Sure. I there are pictures of me as a little child, and I was being carried around by the nanny on her back, just like that. So I thought that was normal as well. I'm with Mash on that one. What do they do in What do they do in England? They carry you around. Yeah, what do they do in Europe?
In Europe, you put the baby on the front.
Oh, do they?
Ooh. You strap on the baby.
Yeah, it's about having these strap things on. And there were a whole lot of like old wives' tales about putting babies on backs, about how it's bad for their 3D vision and depth perception. And
well, surely, but surely it's all right if the baby. It's okay if the baby's facing outward. I mean, if the baby's looking into the nanny's neck the whole time, obviously that's not great.
But that's how it's done, Gareth. Am I right, Smash? You put the baby facing the same direction as you.
The baby can't be facing the opposite direction on your back.
Why not?
I don't think that works.
I haven't seen that.
That sounds very concerning.
That's concerning? I thought it's worse to have the kid like looking into your neck the whole time. Jesus, you know what?
Because you and the baby are just back to back like Charlie's Angels.
What we've learned from this conversation is that none of the three of us are equipped to be carrying around babies. All right?
No, definitely not.
No.
I've got a few Woolies bags I might be able to use.
Oh my God, I've got a lot of I've got so many Woolworths bags because every time I go, I forget to take them. And then I get there and I'm like, come on. And I don't actually spend a lot of time at Woolworths. I usually go to I think there's a Checkers that's nearer to me. That's better because first of all, they have plastic bags. And second of all, it's cheaper. It's not as expensive. You know, Woolworths is expensive. So it's not as if I'm there every week, but I've got about, I don't know, 20 hanging on the door.
Easily. Yeah. They're in my car. I've stuffed them into cupboards. They're hanging on this hook behind me. I've got some around the corner that I just took down from the wall earlier. I saw a girl over the weekend who's she grows a lot of veggies in her garden.
Yeah.
And what she's doing with her Woolies bags is she takes the soil out of the ground or purchases soil, puts them into the bags, and then grows things in them like potatoes and
that's so
that
clever
sort of thing because you can still water them and they drain. Yeah.
That's a clever idea. So maybe I can use the bags for that.
Yeah.
So what does she put them down on the ground outside or?
Like yeah.
Okay.
On the ground. So if you don't have enough space or bedding plants to grow whatever you want to grow.
Right.
When it comes to edible stuff. That's what she's been doing. I think.
I think you can have
it on the pavement.
Yeah. Now you've just given me an idea. I think that could be the way to grow some veggies and things. I wonder what you could do there though, because some stuff will obviously grow really fast and better than other stuff. I think this is a terrific idea, even if it's herbs and stuff, you know?
Yeah. It has to be something that obviously doesn't have enormous roots. Like, I don't think a huge midi plant would be a good idea.
Yeah.
But things like potatoes. So to give you an idea with the potatoes, you know when you've forgotten that you have potatoes and they start sprouting?
Yeah.
You need your potato to get to that point. You put in about a third of the bag with soil, roll out the outsides, you know, like some of the packers do.
Yes, sure.
Roll out the top, and then you just cover the potato and water them and they start sprouting. The other thing I've seen which works really well is the bottom of the onion that you cut off that has all the roots on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just take that slice like it is and you put it just barely under soil. Those roots start growing. Start sprouting. Same works for
onions.
The onions, the red onions.
I'm going to have onions. Okay, good. Wow. I like that. That's useful to know. So I've got this pecan nut tree in my garden. But
that's nice.
I know, but I never get to have any pecan nuts because my sister-in-law comes when I'm not at home and she just takes all of them. She like harvests the whole lot and I don't even get to have one of them. I've never eaten one of my own pecan nuts. She just comes in here and she brings a bag. And then before I even know what's happened, she's stripped the tree bare. It's all gone.
Sure. Yeah. Good for her.
But you know, it's
good for her.
It's interesting.
Here I am like,
it's interesting how we've almost forgotten that we can grow our own stuff and that you don't have to buy basil from Woolworths.
Bloody right.
It's so easy. If you buy one basil plant, it's usually overcrowded in whatever pot it's in.
Yeah.
Break them off into smaller ones. Just for some reason, all of this stuff was on my my FYPE, my For You page on TikTok this weekend, planting strawberries. And it's actually, it's becoming a thing because food is becoming so expensive.
Yes.
There are huge problems with fertilizer, for instance, in the U.S. And in fact, worldwide, but the U.S. is suffering a lot when it comes to the price of fertilizer. A lot of it has to do with, you know, the issues in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so people are starting to plant their own shit, which is good.
Well, I've got you've helped me here because now I've got reasons to use those old Woolworths bags. So I'm now excited today, and I'll plant things like oregano because you could always use that on pizzas and things. I'm gonna start a whole thing. And Leanne, you can move the packets around, right? You can move those bags to, like, if they like shade, you move it into the shade. If they like sun, you move them into the sun. That's very
best
clever.
Part.
Yeah, exactly. This is good.
And then always remember to plant something different in that soil to what you planted before.
The nutrients. You know,
circulate the goodies. And the other thing I've seen is that some shops in the UK are now selling that misshapen fruit and veg that usually doesn't make it into the shops.
Oh, yeah.
So you can buy those at like a reduced cost. So I'm hoping that that's something that happens here. There's also, what is it called? Good to go, something like that in the UK that they've just launched, and Australia, which restaurants are signing up to, and also stores, like food grocery stores, where at the end of a day at a restaurant, any food that's still there that they would usually throw away, you can now go and pick up for a certain amount of money, and they'll package it for you.
Well,
and it's obviously
a
lot cheaper. It makes so much sense to pay $2, which is what you pay for these things there. For $2, you get a little mix mash of whatever's been left over at Woolies or Sainsbury's or whatever.
I just have to tell you, like,
instead of that stuff being thrown in the bin.
One of the things that really drives me crazy, and it's a stupid thing, and it's probably not even that much money, but I hate seeing stuff going off in my fridge or in my kitchen. And I don't cook a lot, as you know, so it's not something that I'm like I'm not obsessed. A lot of people who cook and who take their kitchen very seriously, they would probably have a much bigger issue than I do. I don't buy a lot of groceries. It's just me who lives here. And I like to do things properly. So, you know, if I do go to the shop, I want to get it all done. Problem is, obviously, you get back and, like, you don't use everything in the space of that week. And then you sort of see after a, you know, a couple of days have gone by, you're like, oh, shit, this thing's already going off. Or this is already old. Or this is starting to go brown and I can't use it anymore. Or whatever. It just drives me crazy. Now, I don't have any explanation for why this bothers me. But I hate seeing waste. And it's not, it doesn't come from meanness. You know, I'm not like sitting there going, oh, I wasted all this money. I just hate seeing I'm like, I should have used that.
But that's something that's something natural. That's ingrained in human
really bugs
nature.
Me. And if I'm growing my own stuff, maybe I'll feel less bad about it because I can pick it when I need it. You know?
And you pick exactly how much you need.
Right.
And it's so fresh. It makes a huge difference. Having herbs that you've just picked from a stem than you've bought.
That's much nicer.
Leanne, I am so inspired. I'm actually going to start growing my own vegetables. I have the Woolies bags as well, and I'm going to start growing my own vegetables. I can't show my face in public anymore because this weekend I actually made a video on TikTok preparing chicken. And you know, content creation is very difficult, guys. I'm not trying to explain myself or anything, but it is very difficult. And you do miss certain details every now and then. And because of that, while I was actually creating my cooking video this weekend, cooking my chicken, I forgot to wash the chicken.
Oh, God.
Oh, don't worry about that.
They attacked me on TikTok. I went to Checkers on Sunday yesterday, and somebody actually yelled. So the video went viral, and somebody actually yelled at me. They were like, next time wash your chicken. A stranger just yelled that to me. So after that experience, I just thought, oh.
No, don't feel bad about that. It's I've seen it happen before with people who are creating recipe videos, a lot of people comment and say, some people say, why do you wash your chicken? There's no real evidence or proof or scientific research that you need to wash the chicken before.
Really?
And there's also no proof of it being bad if you don't.
Yes. Well, surely, I mean, if you're cooking it, you're like burning off all that stuff anyway, right?
Exactly my thinking.
No.
And by washing it, you're actually spreading more stuff into your kitchen, like in the sink and all of that sort of thing. It's better to just keep it contained in one area on one board.
Yeah.
That sounds adequate to me.
I just have the fear of God put into me by people who, you know, who told me that salmonella is this, you know, really dangerous stuff that you have to wash your chicken, and if your chicken isn't clean and if you haven't cooked it properly, blah, blah, blah. So I've just got this really irrational fear of like undercooked chicken. And therefore I don't even try to cook it. I mean, poor old Lebung gave me this recipe for the, here it comes, air fryer, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
And she sent it to me on WhatsApp and everything. And she's, you know, she's really like invested in this, more than I am, frankly. This whole idea of like me using this air fryer. So I've got to do it. But with chicken, I'm so nervous I don't do it right. And then I end up, I don't know, getting salmonella poisoning or something, which is just so stupid. Because people cook chicken every day.
It's
not a hard thing to do.
It's not stupid and it's not an irrational fear. Having fear of salmonella poisoning is completely rational. I've had it twice. Yes. And you really do think you're dying. You think you're dying.
What are the symptoms?
Severe vomiting. Basically, your body wants to throw everything out from both ends. And dehydration, you're flat on your back. But it's really horrible.
All right, well.
So it's not an irrational fear, but I think you do need to be a little bit careful. You know, so don't go and slice your veggies with the knife that you've just used to slice the chicken.
No. So here are a couple of things. We were talking about this wastage thing. Ruth says you've got to keep a composting bin. That's not a bad idea. You've got to, I suppose, have the space for it, which a lot of people, if you're living in apartments, you can't do that. You know, it's a difficult thing to do.
Yes.
Carl says, every Sunday when I take the bin out, I take all the stuff out that's almost expired and I put it in a bag and hang it on the bin. It's usually gone within an hour because people are starving. Good point, right?
Yeah, I will do that too. If it's bread that's slightly stale and I don't really want it anymore, or I bought a new loaf, I'll put that on separately. And then for stuff that's really bad, for instance, if I've bought a fresh soup mix, like with the veggies and cabbage and all of that, and I haven't used it, which again feels horrible, but there's now this sort of soupy bin water at the bottom of it. On those, I usually chuck those into my freezer because we only have refuse collected once a week. And then I'll put, you know, just so it doesn't smell, etc. Put those into the bin. Those I mark as do not eat.
Oh, wow. Oh. So you even mark your rubbish. That's pretty impressive. Jesus, what a responsible citizen you are. G-Star's criticizing you as well, Mash. Always wash your chicken, Mash. A chicken needs washing. See, there we go. Lots of people just climbing
in. There was a comment earlier. Someone said, chefs say that you shouldn't wash them.
No.
There we go, Carl. Professional chefs tell you not to wash chicken because it's so poisonous raw, it's more likely to splatter onto other things and make you ill.
Tracy says,
thank you, Carl.
A friend of mine grows her own jalapeno peppers and makes the most amazing jalapeno poppers, which is grilled on the braai. Best ever. There's no substitute for homegrown herbs, fruit, and veg. That's true. Steve says he got sick once off of chicken. Worst ever. Oh, boy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
If you look at the symptoms of salmonella poisoning, which I did when I had it, it said you will feel like you're dying. Then I felt okay.
Ooh.
I mean, I remember lying there with my finger on the phone to call an ambulance.
Wow. That
whenever I could.
No.
Yeah, Leanne, it's horrible.
I just want to find out, how did it feel, though? How did you discover that the chicken you were eating wasn't thoroughly cooked? Were you just cutting into it and then you just saw pink once you're finished?
No. I just got ill from, I woke up ill and thought, what did I eat the night before when I'd eaten chicken at a restaurant?
Oh, so you didn't even notice that it wasn't thoroughly cooked.
So this was at a restaurant? No,
it was from a restaurant. The other time, we'd gone on a girls' weekend in Betty's Bay, and we brought cooked chicken, like rotisserie chicken, and there wasn't a fridge where we were. It's sort of very rustic. Mm. And we ate the chicken the next day after it hadn't been in the fridge. And
you guys kind of deserved that one. Like, you guys really did deserve that one.
Yeah. I remember in the middle of the night, I was on my, because I didn't want to disturb the other girls with all my vomiting, and because I sound like a goat being raped when I vomit. I remember being on my haunches in the Fynbos with the wind howling and me just going,
So all of you were sick at the same time?
Ugh. No, only me. And I remember I only had a little piece off the corner and it tasted weird. And then I didn't have any more. So for some reason, I was the only one who was affected. I got a bad corner.
Tracy says her husband, listen, I mean, now we're comparing disgusting, like, vomiting stories, but my husband got sick, she says, from a pizza that had chicken on it. He was in hospital for 3 days, went through 9 drips for severe dehydration and food poisoning. He was properly manned down. That's just from chicken. Oh. I mean, you know, that's not good.
Chicken is dangerous.
Yeah, who knew? Nkoko. Well, I'm going to think twice now about, you know, cooking the stuff of lebangs. I mean, I haven't done it, but when I do get around it, I will. She's given me the recipe and everything. She's done all the work for me. I don't have anything.
No, just do it, man.
Just do it. Yeah.
You'll probably get salmonella poisoning once or twice.
No.
Don't worry about it.
My thing for today is I'm going to plant all of those fruits and veg and, you know, some herbs and so on. Use those bags. Leanne has given Mash and I some homework for today.
And it's a good idea as well. You probably don't garden yourself, Gareth.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea to use those leaves that are swept up.
Oh, yes.
And keep that in a bag as well so that you can create your own mulch. And you'll put that on top of the potato.
Yeah, but, I mean, those leaves just go all dry. In my garden,
but when you add water to it, it's still got nutrients in it.
I'm going to have to take a course in this stuff by the sound of things.
Jesus. Okay, start small with what I've told you.
Yeah, let's just baby steps. All right, well, we've got a bunch of other things to get to this morning, some things to talk about that are also in the news. Speaking of chicken, KFC have launched an investigation into a fake food inspector. Did you hear this story? This is from Sowetan this weekend. Apparently, social media coverage has unearthed bogus quality assurance inspectors who are actually just trying to get free food. KFC announced they will launch a private investigation in order to track down an alleged fake food inspector who is soliciting free food from KFC stores across South Africa. We talked about how people are hungry, right? So apparently...
that's quite clever.
No, listen.
This person is hungry with ambition.
This is amazing, right? So what they've done is this guy would go around and he'd tell them, I'm the food inspector. And he has like all the fake documents and things, but you wouldn't know it was fake. And then obviously they let him in and they like sit him down and he says, oh, you can bring me this meal. I'm going to test it for quality or whatever. And then they bring him a whole, I don't know, streetwise five or whatever. And then he eats it all up and then goes away and he doesn't have to pay for the meal because he's a fake food inspector. And now apparently they say it, you know, they thought it was an urban legend, but subsequent social media coverage of the fake inspector has led to further stories of other quality assurance impersonators. KFC have appointed a different private investigator, to establish the authenticity of the alleged reports, to track down the identity of the fake KFC food inspector, and they're appealing to the public to help with this investigation. Any information can be shared using their 24-hour hotline, 087-240-6724.
But now what I want to know is, does he order the streetwise and then sit there and eat it? Because a food inspector is probably not going to eat the food. They're probably going to take it to a lab and do tests.
Maybe he takes it.
Does he like eat the whole menu?
Or maybe he says, I'm going to have to take it away. And then as soon as he gets into his car, then he like he drives around the corner and then like eats it all. I don't know how you would know if someone was a fake inspector. It's not something I've thought about.
I think before. if you're going to be that clever and industrious and fool people, then you deserve your streetwise.
You deserve it. Okay. You deserve it every single day.
Tracy says, I bet this food inspector has a massive cholesterol problem and a rather large gut. Hard to miss. All those streetwise meals can't be good. Serious supersize me vibes. Yeah.
Wow. And I remember there was a story a couple of years ago about a man who was also invoicing, was it KFCs? He kept sending invoices to KFCs, and these KFCs weren't actually checking these invoices. So every month he was just invoicing, and these invoices were being paid for years. And he got away with, like, I think it was 700,000 rand or something.
Oh, wow.
Where they were just paying all these invoices. So they need to la there and just make sure that things are straight, because hey, people are getting away with crazy things that side.
Imagine
of town.
You were just getting invoices like every month and they were paying them. I love that. I mean,
they're just paying them.
Genius, right? I mean, if you could get someone to just
it could be like for cleaning your bins or, you know,
You're not going to dispute that. You're not going to dispute that. You're going to be like, oh, the bins are clean.
Especially if it's head office. You know, like head office are going to go, oh, well, I suppose we have to pay this guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Because also, I mean, some management doesn't get involved at all with what's happening on the floor. So for them, it's just, bins are clean. So whatever's done.
So this is interesting. Chris says he's a mystery shopper and you will never know when I come. I also pay for everything. So these mystery shoppers are these people who they actually work as, I think they're independent, or sometimes they're actually paid by the different stores, like, you know, one of the big supermarkets, and they go and they check on like your staff and how friendly they are, whether your shelves are nice and tidy, well stocked. They also test the quality of the stuff. But I mean, Chris, do they just explain to us? Do they send you money?
Yeah.
For you to shop with, or is it just part of your salary, and then part of your salary is that you have to go and spend at those shops? And you have to go to different ones every time to try and evaluate them. I mean, that must be really interesting. That's very cool.
That's very cool.
The fake inspector must really like KFC. I like that guy. 10 points for that KFC eating thief, says Vincent. Look out for the food inspector at a KFC near you. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? Apparently, a lot of franchises get their mystery shoppers to pay cash, like ordinary customers, the only way to assess the food industry. That's interesting. See, I don't often think about like how the food industry keeps tabs on itself, because they would have to. They would have to have certain ways of like evaluating whether or not they're on the money, when they're doing the right thing, do they have the right people, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the best way to do that is to have one of your 1,000 shoppers that week who's actually paid by the company to come and assess.
That's the only way.
Reminds me of, do you remember the company Samro? We in the music industry would have known about it.
Samro is now called Sarol, I think. Yeah. But they basically do them. They pay the artists when, you know, their music is played on the radio.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Samro basically funded my ex-husband and I, when we first met, funded our dating life for about 2 years.
Really?
How?
So I don't. Obviously, things work differently now with digital music and all of that. But in those days, we had to go. He, as a Samro representative, we had to go to restaurants who hadn't been paying royalty fees and record the music that they were playing. So we would sit at the table. Samro would pay for our meal. We'd have a nice meal out, and we'd have a dictaphone hidden under the table, recording the music that they were playing.
Leanne. One of the totally spies.
You snitch.
Yeah.
That's what you are. You're a snitch.
Wow.
But it's all good because, it's, you know, good. It's money that musicians are owed.
Yeah, but it's still snitchy. It just it doesn't feel right to me. I think that's dodgy. Mm. So people sitting there with a recording device hidden under the table, and you're like,
having a lovely dinner.
Listen, free dates when you're in your early 20s.
Oh no, sure.
No one's gonna say no.
No, you'll take whatever you can get, right?
They serve you a bill, you serve them a bill.
I wonder how many people are subsidized by this kind of thing, and none of us even know about it.
Hmm.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. Those people are usually the ones who complain. The ones when the business is paying for your lunch or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Those are usually the people who complain.
But you also, speaking of this KFC inspector and these, you get those people who also complain about meals so they can get them for free. I mean, I've seen it happen in restaurants once or twice before, and they're usually the most terrible people. You could see them from a mile away. It's like these grumpy, bitter, resentful, miserable people. And actually, they're just after a free meal. And their way of getting that free meal is to complain about the food. And then they obviously, we'll handle that. We'll cover the cost of that. And these poor restaurant owners, I often wonder if they can tell whether the people are real or they're bullshitters. And whether or not they've ever caught people doing it more than once. Because these are the kind of people who would go from restaurant to restaurant complaining so they can get free meals. And then they sometimes forget because, people are fallible. They don't keep track. And they'll go back to the same restaurant that they've already done this at. And maybe the restaurant will remember them and it can see that they're coming and they're like, oh, not these people again.
Sure. People are terrible out there. I've only witnessed this pandemic on social media where people would actually post pictures of their chicken or something or their burger with a worm in it or a cockroach in it. And you always wonder, when earth did this come from? But then every now and then these people are exposed.
Yeah.
And it does come out that, why would a worm be on a piece of lettuce or something like that?
You mean they bring in their own worm and then they put it on the...
Yes. And put it on. I've heard many stories like these and also seen them on social media.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
I just remembered that triggered a memory for me. We went to Jamie Oliver's restaurant when it first came to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Mm. And at Melrose Arch it was, it was my mom, my dad, my brother and I. We went out for a family pasta.
Yeah.
And my dad was eating his pasta. And I mean, this is Jamie Oliver's restaurant, right? He's eating his pasta and he bit onto a really, really hard something in his pasta. And he pulled it out and we all looked at it and it looked like a stone or something.
Oh, my God.
And my dad complained about it, much to my dismay. I never complain about those things. I'll just never go back, which is the wrong approach. But he complained about it and they took it to the kitchen and looked at it. They were obviously concerned and needed to report back on the issue. Mm. And they brought it back. While they were in the kitchen, my dad was, you kind of clean your teeth with your tongue. It sounds a bit gross, but we all do it.
Yeah.
And he said, hang on a moment. I've just realized it was a piece of my tooth.
Oh, shit. So it wasn't a stone. It was his actual tooth that broke. Oh, God.
Yeah. So there they were with my dad's broken tooth in the kitchen.
Oh, my God.
Trying to assess what it was.
Did your dad perhaps have crowns on his teeth or something?
No.
Because he would have felt that.
Sometimes the little pieces of teeth can break off and you won't feel it.
Alien.
How did we get to this? We were having a nice conversation. Now we're talking about this. This is horrible. Ugh. No.
Mm-mm. This is traumatic. So he didn't feel the tooth break in his mouth.
It was a tiny little chip that broke off. It'll happen to you one day when you're older. Watch.
Yeah, don't say that.
Hopefully not.
All right, so listen, we've got homework. So we're going to grow things in old Woolworths bags. That's a cool place to start. Mash and I are going to be doing that today. Mm-hmm. We'll also, Mash, in your case, start washing the chicken, or in some cases, as a few people have said, don't bother. You decide. But those people who criticized you for that have no room to talk, right? We've figured out that's nonsense. Yes. I hate this this discussion around biting into a hard thing while you're thinking you're eating soft stuff.
Your reaction's very weird.
It is weird. I don't. Sometimes, maybe there's a certain kind of phobia to that, but I mean, the idea of like biting down on a piece of your own tooth, ugh, really, really makes me uncomfortable.
It's very odd. I've never come across someone to react to react like that.
Tracy says those restaurant owners have to be so polite to moaning grumpy people because it only takes one negative social media post to ruin a good business. Is that true?
Yeah.
Because people take those reviews so seriously. I've never looked at an internet review of a restaurant ever in my life, ever.
No, but you will come across a tweet or a video or something saying, don't go to this restaurant. This was my experience on social media.
Yes. Happens quite often. Restaurants, clubs.
See, maybe because I don't take anyone on social media seriously. I don't want to hear their reviews of anything. I could care less.
Which is the way to go.
Yeah. Leanne, go and buy your dad some calcium tablets. The man is crumbling.
Honestly, Leanne, seriously, get him those.
Mash, someone says here, washing the chicken is code for having a shower before wandering off to the neighbor in your gown. That's from parallel parking. I once had an ice cream cone. Listen to this. Sharon says, I once had an ice cream cone, and just before the end, I found a cockroach.
That I can't stand. That I can't stand.
Gross. That is so
And as talking about fried chicken at a certain fried chicken outlet 20 years ago, and I've boycotted them since. Never bought a thing from there, not even a cold drink. I got nuggets. And as I picked up the last nugget, of course, there was a clump of hay.
Oh!
human hay. It's always the last, on your last bite, you have something happen.
You enjoyed it thoroughly.
As Tracy says here, what's worse than a worm in your salad? Half a worm. It means you've eaten the other half, right?
That is worse. Because where's the other half? In your stomach.
Listen, it swings and roundabouts. Where we can complain about restaurants and moan about whether or not they get good or bad reviews, they can also do terrible things to your food while it's still in the kitchen and you don't know about it. You don't know. That's why
I always thought there's a trust. That stories though.
No, there's a trust thing that happens here. There's a trust thing. You trust them to do the right thing and not smear your food on the ground and all of that stuff while they're cooking it, and in return you give them a nice review.
Listen, when you are in the fast food industry, fast being the operative word here, as a server or a waitress, as I've been before, for instance, one of the places I waitressed at, we had, you'd put your dirty dishes onto the sink, and the person who washed the dishes would load the dishwasher and hand wash what they needed to. But because things are so fast moving, the teaspoons went into a bucket filled with dishwater soap. So you take your teaspoons and just chuck them in there.
Yeah.
Okay. But because it was just so manic on some nights, you would just grab a teaspoon from the bucket that was overflowing. But now bear in mind that the other thing that teaspoons are used for in this restaurant, there are two things, tea and to put on the side of your cup of sauce, like your manky gland or cheese sauce, or mushroom. So those teaspoons were all swimming in this kind of oily sauce in this bucket. And how many times we didn't have clean teaspoons, I would grab one out the bucket, wipe it on my apron, and put it on the side of the teacup.
I don't want to hear these stories. Sure. First of all, Carl says, stop these stories. It's too early, please. I couldn't agree more. But I also don't want to think about this stuff. Because part of the reason I don't like to cook is the mess. So when I order food or I go to a restaurant or whatever, I'm just imagining everything's perfect. I don't want to think about this stuff. Don't even tell me these stories. I like being blissfully ignorant. You know? I'm okay with like
eating a restaurant food in peace.
Yeah, just don't shatter my illusion that everything's perfect and people are extremely fastidious and, you know, they polish the spoons and then they make sure that they're absolutely dry and looking lovely and shiny when they put them back in the drawer, and then they sit in the drawer for a while, and they pull them out and they dust them off again, and that's when they put it on my teacup. I don't want to think that someone's...
Lower your expectations, Gareth.
I don't tell me that. I'm very happy to just live in blissful ignorance. I can't even talk about this stuff anymore. I'm going to end the show early. I can't. Mm. I honestly can't. It's like you're spoiling my day. One of the few pleasures of life for me is that, like, I don't have to always be in the kitchen, and I don't need to know what goes on there. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to spoil my fun. Don't tell me any more about these things, Leanne. I know you've worked in the waitressing world before, and you know terrible things, but don't spoil it for people like me and Mash.
It's really, I'll tell you now, it's really not that bad most of the time. It's fine. It's like 99% of the time.
Leanne, you got to tell me about the 1% on WhatsApp, because that is so interesting.
Yeah, don't tell the rest of us. Monkey gland. You see, again, like, this is something, I hate that term, monkey gland sauce, the one we get from whipped monkey's tears. No, but when someone orders monkey gland sauce on something, I actually imagine them like squeezing the glands of some monkey, and it's going, ah, 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 and then he's squeezing the glands of
the monkey. There is no monkey in monkey gland sauce.
I know.
It's barbecue sauce. Basically.
I know, but I don't like the name. Halfway through a half chicken and salad from a popular bakery chain, I had a baby garden snail. My mate with the same meal had a snail in his mouth. Live ones.
Ah, VIP treatment right there.
Oh. Remember the horse meat? Remember the horse meat that people enjoyed for months? Yes, I remember that story in the news. Oh my God. All right, enough. Enough of this. Enough. Thank you, everybody. Wow. It's been a happy morning up to when we started having these conversations, and then I'm opting out. All right. Have an excellent Monday. We've got only a few days left of August. September spring day is just around the corner. It's this week, so get ready. And hopefully you have a very productive and excellent week. And if you need some kind of lift, some kind of pep talk this morning, listen to Dr. Hanan and Leanne, which happened just before 7 o'clock this morning in the first part of the podcast. And, of course, you can also let us know what's on your mind. Tell us who you want to have on the show. Tell us what you'd like us to talk about. You can send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com. We respond to every single email, and we want to hear from you. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Be good. CliffCentral.com.